Done.
This conference will now be recorded.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is a meeting of the Code Administration Technical Advisory Committee. Today is September the 27th of 2022, and it is 10 a.m. We will begin our meeting by making roll call. If you would please answer by saying here. Don Brown?
Here.
Michael Beret is out of the country. Bob Boyer?
Here.
Thank you. Shane Gerwig?
Here.
Michael Garacio?
Here.
Ray Marker is dealing with storm issues and will not be available today. John O'Connor? Mr. O'Connor is not with us. We do have a quorum. Do we have any guests on the line that would like to be recognized? I believe we have Mr. Leo Amos on the line. Is that correct? Mr. Amos, have you joined the line? Do we have any other guests? Hearing a phone ringing, if you could mute your line, please. The staff on the line today, we have Mr. Mo Madani, Justin Vogel, Sabrina, and Tom Campbell. I am Arlita Peters. I'm going to help facilitate your meeting today. We would like to approve the agenda as posted. There are no recommended changes. TAC members, we have a motion.
Motion to approve, Boyer.
Thank you.
Garacio, second.
Garacio, second. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Thank you. We would also like to approve the previous minutes of June 16th if there are no recommended changes or corrections.
Motion to approve, Boyer.
Second, O'Connor.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor, for joining. Now we would like to hear a request for a declaratory statement, DS-2022.
Marlita, you didn't call the vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. All those in favor of the minutes as posted, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Now we would like to hear the request for a declaratory statement, pardon me, DS-2022-037 by Mr. Leo Amos. How would you like to give the request for analysis? I'm sorry, the request for the deck statement.
Justin is on the line. We'll do that.
Okay, Justin.
Yeah. This is Justin Vogel, the attorney for the commission. I prepared this staff recommendation. I'll be presenting it. So, TAC members, the summary of this issue is that the petitioner states that they've had a portion of the roof on their home replaced and that the new roof leaks and has a failed wind mitigation inspection. The petitioner asserts that they have suffered damages as a result of the repair work and presents a number of questions pertaining to the oversight and approval responsibilities of local building officials. Because there are a large number of questions, I'm not going to read them all in the record. They've been presented on the agenda. If there are any questions about any particular question, I'd be happy to field it. But having looked at the presented questions and the applicable laws, staff suggests the answer is as follows. Petitioner's questions revolve around the powers and responsibilities of local building officials. In particular, as petitioner feels, they may have been applicable to the already completed work that occurred on his roof. Pursuant to Rule 28-1.001 Florida Administrative Code, a declaratory statement is not the appropriate means for determining the conduct of another person. Furthermore, petitioner's inquiry is not prospective in nature, and the courts have stated that a petition for a declaratory statement which seeks approval or disapproval conduct which has already occurred is properly denied. Because petitioner seeks a statement which would determine the conduct of persons other than himself, and because this petition involves conduct which has already occurred, the commission should decline to answer the petition.
Thank you, Mr. Vogel. Mr. Hammers, I know that Mr. Amos joined by phone. Let's make sure that he is not muted, please. Mr. Amos, are you on the line and would you like to speak at this time?
Yes, I would. Yes, I'm on the line. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm still safe, even though I'm not in that shape. Getting ready for that hurricane. But I started this journey on this declaratory statement by going to your website, and I pulled it up, and it says here that declaratory statement submittal will be done by Rule 28-105-002, and it lists four items, A, B, C, D. What it does not list is that this one that your attorney talked about, that was 28-1001, was not included. Well, that is my misfortune for not reading the whole thing, but I'm not an attorney, and for you to say that, well, okay, I didn't follow completely all the rules, is kind of, well, it's not right. I mean, you know, if you're going to say part of the rule is right, you should include down below it all the rules or a summary of some of the rules. Now, I did send out to everybody except one particular gentleman a copy of my speech for today, and I've been told I shouldn't have sent this out, and I regret that. It wasn't done maliciously, but it was done in error. So I'd like to take the time to read it. Under summary of issues by staff, staff claims that I have suffered a loss caused by repairs to my roof. I have no idea where staff got this information and made this claim about my petition. Nowhere in my petition do I claim that I suffered losses caused by repairs to my roof. This was a re-roof of a flat roof, a standalone. Now, I do have a tile roof, which is 20 years old, but most flat roofs don't last 20 years. You have to replace it. So I did. This was a re-roof. Staff claims that I have presented a number of questions pertaining to oversight and improved responsibilities of local building officials. Again, I asked that staff explain this. I did not state that I was looking at the oversight and improved responsibilities of local building officials. I stated that the Florida statutes 486.604.1A requires building officials to have certain responsibilities. My questions pertain to this statute and FBC rules. I'm not asking whether or not there is any oversight of approved responsibilities of local building officials. I don't see how staff can infer that I ask questions about oversight and approved responsibilities of local building officials or their conduct in my petition. Under relevant provisions, the question I asked are relevant in determining and resolving several issues of state statutes regarding responsibilities of building officials and other officials in the building field and whether Florida building rules meets these statutes. In other words, there are certain responsibilities assigned by the state law under this specific provision that I believe that need to be answered because FBC rules allow certain documents not to be required in order to get a permit. And I don't believe it follows this particular state law. Now, if you want to change the law and allow these things to happen, you can. The way it stands now, it needs to be declared. Under staff's suggested answers, I have experienced the outcome of some of the rules pertaining to my re-roof of a small flat roof section of my house, which has already taken place. However, I have to replace a major part of my roof in the next year or so. The re-roof will be very expensive in cost because it will be a re-roof of my 20-year-old tile roof. Tile roofs are very, very expensive to replace. I can't afford to have mistakes. My questions are relevant to my future tile roof replacement and not to what already has taken place. The question about the certification for my re-roof of my flat roof and the failure of the re-roof to meet wind mitigation is after the fact. I could not get windstorm from citizens until it's fixed. What rules does the FPC have for this? And why wouldn't this be a question if there is no rule for it? Simply put, you know, I spent a lot of money to get my flat roof re-roofed. It failed wind mitigation. I could not get citizens to insure the roof because it was inspected and found not in compliance. I believe that the board should do my petition for a declaratory statement. Being a citizen without any knowledge of the roofing industry, it would be impossible for me or anyone to come before the board with a petition for a declaratory statement without using information given to me by the local building official and others to guide me to look at the laws and FPC rules to be able to ask these questions. I don't see how anyone can arbitrarily ask questions without getting information. How can you be using information to be considered as oversight or conduct? The information I use is solely in defining the question. I have tried to get copies of the documents from FPC. I have requested several and gotten documents that did not contain my request. Other times, I got no response and offered to go to mediation with the OAG mediation person, with these folks at FPC, and they refused mediation. The last request for copies of documents from FPC, I was told that I had to come in person to look at copies of documents as well as other remarks, making it impossible for me to get information from FPC. I sent the same email I received from FPC to the AOAG about this and was told to send the email to the Inspector General's office of DVTR. I would have gladly used the documents from FPC.
It's Tom Campbell, the executive director of the commission. Do your comments, the ones you're making now in regards to the email and contact with OAG, have to do with your petition itself and what the commission or what you are asking the commission to answer? Because that's what you should be focusing your comments on now. And I just want to make sure that you haven't gotten yourself off track into something else that's not within this tax purview.
The problem was is trying to get information and documentation so I can make legitimate questions to the board. And I was signing because there was a lot of the questions that I couldn't get answered.
So are you wanting a chance to resubmit your petition when you are able to get the additional information, or you do want to continue to go forward and to go forward today?
I'd like to go forward because the documents that I got came from a local building official, and that seems to be the problem that has been raised by your attorney, that by using information I got from the local building official, that it in some manner is using his conduct. You know, I'm not after his conduct. The words that I put down there are his exact words. So I can't change them. I can't do anything with them. They're not his. They're not my words. And I can't. You know, I had to show where I got the information from. And I got it from a local building official. And they're saying, well, that's oversight of conduct of this building official. And no, it's not.
But what I think you want to be focusing on here while you're addressing the tax is the question you ultimately want the commission to answer, because that's what your petition is. So I think focusing on that could be beneficial for you, but if you want to continue on the route that you are on, that's fine. And once you're complete with your statement, then we will talk about how the TAC will proceed. Okay?
I think that you've made a very good point, and I need to get off this particular section and go to the questions that I really am wanting answered.
Okay, that sounds good.
And I thank you very much for your correction to my position. I wrote that as a rebuttal to the attorney's evaluation of my work, and that's why I was headed. The main issues are under Florida Statutes 486-604-1. Does this give the FDC the power to delete the need for plans on reroutes when the state statute requires a plan? And this is taken from 486-604. Florida statutes, which says that a building official must have a plan and review the plan before any permit is issued. And my question does the FBC have the power to delete the needs for plans for reroofs? Now this is on a residential reroof. This is not a commercial building, which, the residential district or residential home is different than the construction part of it. So the rules are different. I think that's a valid question. Does the FBC have the ability to delete review plans when the state statute states under 486 that the responsibility of the building official is to review plans before any permit is issued? That's number two. Number three, FBC 107.1 gives the power of the building official to delete both the need of plans and the review of plans for reroofs for residential property. That needs to be answered in relation to 486.604. Does the building official be given the right by FBC to delete both the plans and review of plans for residential roofs? Number four, does 107.1 give the power of the building official to use generic material names for material used for reroofs? That's a question that I have. Does FBC 107.1 give the power to the building official to allow the use of any building materials in a reroof that aren't listed on his approval of so-called material plans without knowing what the builder will use? That's a question that goes back to reroofs, the residential districts. Right now, the way it's been run is there's no plan and there's no review of the plan. And consequently, the contractor could use any material he wants. All he has to do is say, well, okay, it's a generic TPO. Florida does generic TPOs. There's no indication of how the flashing will be done, the materials used for the flashing, the assumptions made is assumptions, and that doesn't work because the contractor can use any material he wants. And that's been the problem with 107.1. It stuck in the construction part and then again put in the residential district part, okay, for FDC. There's two different areas. And by putting in 107 in that lump, which is supposed to be construction only, it gives the building official more latitude on doing something with reroofs for residential buildings. It shouldn't be. It's in a bad location, according to my way of thinking. Can the building official approve of a flashing material that has no manufacturer installation instructions and still meet FBC? that's the question, is because in residential, you have a list of items that has to be metal of some sort, or flashing, or it has to be by the manufacturer's specification of the roof. But if you go over to 1.0, 10.1, 107.1 that gives the building official the ability to use any road roofing or whatever else, you know, that comes in, which is not in what should be done, in my opinion. And that, I feel like that needs to be clarified because, in my particular case, flashing material wasn't any of the things in the residential, it wasn't in any of the residential areas. It has to be material of the same or by TPO.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to say about your petition?
Yes. The big one here is my home was certified and approved. My flat roof was certified and approved. I had to get a windstorm. I had to have my roof inspected for windstorm by citizens in order to get citizens insurance. The roof failed inspection for wind mitigation. It not only failed, but my roof leaked. Okay? But I had a double whammy on this. It failed. So what do you do? I mean, if it fails wind mitigation, I'm sitting here with certification that the roof is FBC code. How can that happen? Well, what do you do after the point that it happens? So that is very serious. I'm stuck now that citizens are demanding me, I got to fix my roof. I got a certification saying, by FBC standards, it's approved. So that's a major problem for me. Now, my reason for all these things is I have a 20-year-old tile roof that needs to be replaced. And I'm looking for answers to how I could get my tile roof replaced, redone, and that it meets FBC code without failing wind mitigation. I don't know.
Okay.
But that's my whole case.
All right. So now I'm going to tell you how the rest of this is going to go. We're going to go to the public for any additional comments. Then the TAC and Marlita are going to take it back to the TAC for a discussion. Once it is at the TAC, they are the only ones who will be talking about the petition. If they ask you a question, then Marlita will facilitate that comment, that conversation. So do you understand that?
Definitely.
Okay. And again, if you don't like what the TAC votes on here today, you will also have an opportunity to address the commission on the petition as well. All right.
Okay.
Just want to make sure that you understand, and I'll go back to Marlita.
Thank you. So at this time, do we have anyone from the public with any questions or comments? Hearing none.
Hey, Marlita. This is Justin Vogel. If there's no other public comment, I was just going to chime in and acknowledge that it seems that there is a typographical error in the staff suggested answer where it reads Rule 28-1.001. As Mr. Amos noted, our website is correct. It should read 28-105.001. The quotation from that section of the Florida Administrative Code is correct. The law is correct, but that citation should be
105.001. Thank you very much. That said, one more time, is there anyone else from the public with comments or questions?
Yes, I'd like to make a comment on that. I appreciate
Quickly, sir.
I'd like to make a comment. I think that would be a great change to your front page if you would include more information of the items, the real stuff. I think that's great. Good job. That's all my comment.
Thank you, sir. So if there are no other public comments or questions, we'll now close public comment. We'll go to the TAC members for discussion and or motion.
Marlena Schengerwick.
Hi, Shane.
Can you or Justin read staff's recommended motion?
Yes.
Yes, I can do that. All right. The motion would be, well, to recommend that staff's answer be adopted by the commission. If you'd like to hear the answer again, it is this. Petitioner's questions revolve around the powers and responsibilities of local building officials, in particular as the petitioner feels they may have been applicable to the already completed work that occurred on his roof. Pursuant to Rule 28-105.001, a declaratory statement is not the appropriate means for determining the conduct of another person. Furthermore, petitioner's inquiry is not prospective in nature, and the court has stated that a petition for a declaratory statement which seeks approval or disapproval of conduct which has already occurred is properly denied. And then it includes the citations of the case. Because petitioner seeks a statement which would determine the conduct of persons other than himself, and because the petition involves conduct which has already occurred, the commission declines to answer. That is the recommended answer, and so that would be staff's analysis, which would then be adopted by the commission and drafted into the order for the declaratory statement.
So Justin, would it be appropriate for me to just make a motion to uphold staff's recommendation?
Yes, sir, that would.
All right, so I make a motion to uphold staff's recommendation.
O'Connor, second.
Members, do we have any further discussion?
I have a question.
Speaking, please.
I guess for Justin, with regard, during the petition.
Mr. Brown speaking.
Yes, I'm sorry, Commissioner Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
During the petitioner's presentation, he made a reference to the fact that one of the motivations for seeking this this petition was prospective, in that he plans to address a portion of his roof that hasn't been redone yet. Is there any way that his we are probably going to adopt the staff's recommendation on this, but would it be available to him to reapply and only question the prospective aspect of the roof repair that he plans to do? Is that a possibility for him?
Potentially, Commissioner Brown. I mean, the staff analysis is based on the deck statement petition as it was submitted. If the petitioner were to present a different question, then it's possible that a declaratory statement could be issued. I'm not 100% sure that he would be able to come up with one. I'm just not sure, based on sort of the list of questions in front of us, it'd be very hard to convert some of these into something that involves his own conduct, but there may be a way. I can't act as his attorney and sort of give him, you know, the level of guidance Mr. Amos might require, and I am sympathetic. I think we all are sympathetic to his current situation, but certainly as presented, the declaratory statement process is not the means of addressing the issues that have cropped up with his roof. And the answer to your question is, potentially he could resubmit if he's able to tie it entirely to perspective conduct and something that he himself would be doing, not asking about what someone else must do in order to comply with rule or statute. And I'd also point out that some of the things that he's asking about with respect to Florida statute, I think he's trying to actually refer to 468, not 486, and dealing with some of the statutory provisions that would be under the purview of the Building Code Administrators and Inspectors Board. I mean, there are things like that which we are not going to be able to have the jurisdiction to weigh in on. And so basically the answer is maybe. He might be able to, but he would have to really go back and be more focused on asking the question and tying it to what he would be doing.
Thank you. I think that that explanation could be useful to the petitioner.
Thank you. So now we have a motion on the table, seconded, to uphold the staff recommendations. Is there any further discussion by the TAC members? Hearing none, we'll call the vote. All those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion stands. Do we have any other TAC business to bring forth today? Do we have any other public comment at the moment? Hearing none, we will consider our meeting adjourned now at 10:31. Ladies and gentlemen, be safe and have a good day.
Thank you, Marlena.